Once again this year, our theme is 2020, a year of spiritual clarity. Everybody say spiritual clarity. Our key verse for the year is Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Please turn there real quickly. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. It's our prayer that this verse will become part of our scripture memory for our lives. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. When you're there, say, I'm there. They also have it on the screen for us. I want us to read that together. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. The word of the Lord says, let's read and begin. I keep asking that the God, all right, everybody with me? We're going to read it together. We'll all read it at the same time. Ready and go. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that you may know him. Oh. All right, the grass withers and flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. As we started this series on last Sunday, there were a few things I put on the altars of your heart that I will mention of real briefly regarding spiritual clarity. That this is not in any particular order, but depending on where you are in your life, the thought is this is where you're going to begin obtaining this spiritual clarity. The first one is self-denial. Say back at me, self-denial. As you are branching off for clear spiritual clarity, there may be a place in your life where you have to begin by denying yourself. Jesus said himself, he said, Father, if it be your will, remove this cup. But if not my will, thy will be done. Even Christ put on the table an aptitude of self-denial. And when we come in contact with people that are not willing to deny themselves, that's a great moment for you to start backing up, moving out of the way, because they are very selfish. And it's hard to build a relationship with a selfish person. And if you happen to be sitting beside one, just look at me. Don't give yourself away. Could be that for your place of clarity is not self-denial, but could be solitude. And that is being in the position at all times where you can hear God's voice. If it's a crowded building, if it's a building with you by yourself, we all should live in the place where we can hear God's voice no matter what's going on. So we may ought to start at a place of solitude. It could be the idea of speaking up. And when we speak up, we speak what God has already said. We don't have to make up nothing. All we have to do is retain God's word and speak God's word. It has already been written. Just say what God says. Is that making sense for us? The other idea is spacing. In order for you to have spiritual clarity, it may mean that you have to give yourself some space away from people. Living in space where you can hear God and respond in obedience without having to hear the voices of other people. Because God spoke to you, he didn't speak to everybody else. So what God says to you is not for somebody else. Is that right? All right. And finally, subtracting distractions. Could it be that for you to have a spiritual clarity, you have too many outside influences trying to have your attention? Maybe God wants you to stop subtracting some things and some people so you can hear clearly from him. I understand that you guys are really saved. You want everybody around you. But some people are distractions. They are interrupting what God is trying to say to you. And you're not wise enough to push them away, so therefore you're not living in wisdom, in full revelation of God's word. Subtraction could be the key for some of us. Now listen, if you're married, I'm not suggesting subtract from your marriage. That's out of order. I don't know about, well, I went to the middle of the east, and we ought to subtract. And you are the first one on my list. No, that's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. You will be out of order. If you're married, you're trying to subtract your marriage, all right? You cannot subtract your marriage. You cannot subtract your children, especially if they're under 18. Now, when they get over 18, you got some freedom. Get them on that. But if they're under 18, you got to feed them. You got to clothe them, all right? That's not subtracting. That would be ignorance. Subtraction is moving yourself away from these outside voices that are trying to get you to produce something that's ungodly. Is everybody with me thus far? All right. So last Sunday when we began this series, we're looking at the life of Joseph. And we're looking at the life of Joseph and watching what God does. And the series is called My Spiritual Journey, A Life of Trust. My Spiritual Journey, A Life of Trust. And last week we put on the table Joseph's pain. Joseph's pain. And on today, the title of our sermon is Joseph's Reality. Joseph's Reality. The scripture has been written, has been read, but let me give you this initial statement as we gave on last week, that Joseph's pain was the key to his future greatness. Joseph's pain was the key to his future greatness. That because we know the story of Joseph's life, we can honestly assess that God had Joseph to go through what he went through for a divine purpose. Now, it's not as easy to appreciate the heat when you're in the heat. All right, I'll try this side. It's very hard to appreciate disturbances when you're in the midst of the tornado. But what we know as believers is that on the other side of every storm, God has his eternal resting place and a place of blessings and peace for us. But in our journey of life, we've got to journey through some stuff. All right? And everything we journey through is a preparation for where God wants us to be next. We discovered on last week that Joseph had to endure the plight of a family that had deceit in his DNA. This deceit just didn't start with Joseph's brothers deceiving his father that Joseph was dead, but this started years prior because Jacob, Joseph's father, was full of deceit towards his own father, Isaac. Y'all remember that Jacob wanted Esau's birthright? And so his mother, a mother and a son conspire against the father. That's a whole new sermon. We'll have to talk about that later. But deceit was in the bloodline. It was in his DNA. Dinah. Well, y'all show heavy on the preacher this morning. It's all right to laugh in church. It's all right. Not only was there a plight of deceitfulness in his family, but Joseph went from that plight to the pit where his brothers put him in a cistern. He went from being in a pit to being in Potiphar's house where he was lied on. He went from Potiphar's house to a prison. And then we'll see him today going from a prison mentality, from prison to a palace. But it's a journey. It's a journey. It's in chapter 50 that Joseph says to his brothers, I'm not mad at you anymore. What you meant, what you intended for to bring me harm, God had a different intention for it. So listen, Joseph never said that until chapter 50, but it was in his heart because God told Joseph, I am with you. Listen, as we journey with God, we've got to remember everything God says to us. Because if he says it one time, he doesn't have to repeat himself five more times. If he says it once, it's still applicable until the day of his return. And God said to Joseph, I am with you. So from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison to the palace, Joseph had God's word that God was with him. Don't look at the Bible. Some of us are waiting to hear another revelation from God. Am I just here today? If the sky parts to the east, then I know it's God. Well, God want me to tell that person. We're looking for all these signs and these hour revelations, and all you need is God's word. All right, I'll try this out. All you need is God's word. If God has spoken it, it's not up on us to decide if we're going to live it today. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So therefore, we live in obedience to God's word. All right, so if we had the opportunity today, I want to ask you a question. What is it that's stopping us from living this life of active faith? What is it in life that says to us, depending on the situation, I'll base my level of obedience on how I feel or how others are treating me? Joseph had a very different perspective, you all. Joseph heard from God, and all he lived from for these 15 to 16 years, from going from a 17-year-old being betrayed by his brothers to now being a 30-year-old being the next in line in Egypt, all he had for those years was God's word. That's it. He had beacons of light possibly along the journey, but he didn't hear from God again until he got to the palace. Some of us are waiting on God to continue to speak to us over and over. If I don't feel him today, something's wrong. You don't have to feel him today. You heard from him the first time. All right. So depending on who you're hanging around will tell you what you're looking for out of life. Because there are some people that want you to continue to prove your love to them. And so since they are the ones that's close to you, you now want God to keep proving his love to you. as if Christ raised and being raised from the dead wasn't good enough. I mean, doggone it, what else you want him to do? He has defied death. And you're still wanting God to prove himself one more again. All right, all right. So if you don't mind, turn to somebody behind you and say, big faith. Say it again, big faith. Joseph, because he functioned off of God saying it one time, Joseph put on the table big faith. Because he's learning in this process, in this journey, to trust God for the entire journey. And because of Joseph's perspective, write this down if you will, the first point I would put on altar of your heart, that because of his perspective, Joseph had nothing to lose. Joseph had nothing to lose. The text says in verse number 9, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servant and imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Say back at me, Joseph had nothing to lose. So listen. When you assess your situation, and you realize that you're in the situation that you're in not because of your own decisions and devices. When you are in this particular spot because you have been trusting God not only to be in the spot but the duration in the spot, you're in the place where you can say, I have nothing to lose as I continue to choose to trust God. The reason why it's difficult for some of us is because we got ourselves in this situation. We bought that car. We wanted to upgrade the house. We wanted the kid to go to Brown University knowing TCC was the best spot. We put ourselves in this debt. And when God doesn't respond like we want him to respond, well, maybe there's something wrong with God. Tink, ain't nothing wrong with God. God has given us what we call come on sense, sound wisdom, to make good decisions. But when we are in a spot because of God placing us there, listen, if the weakest link is your greatest opportunity, you ought to stick with God. Joseph had nothing to lose. So look at what he does. All Joseph wanted when he had an opportunity to have a conversation with the baker and the cupbearer was for them to remember him. That's it. Joseph did not ask for anybody to come back and get him. He just said, remember me. You just never know what happens when somebody remembers you, right? And so here we have Joseph is being remembered. Now listen, now look at me. Now the sad part of this is, not for you, but maybe the person that lives behind you, is that when people remember them, the remembrance is not good. Not you, but maybe the person who lives on the other side of your house. When people remember them, they remember the last thing they saw posted on Facebook. All right. And that's not necessarily good. All right. But isn't it wonderful that when somebody remembers you, they remembers you because of your likeness was like God, not your likeness for your flesh? You see, some of us, we love being remembered by what we can put on the table and what we can produce for other people. That is not what Joseph's intent was. Do you believe that Joseph had found contentment by trusting God? So where is your contentment? And if you're in the pit, if you're in Potiphar's house, if you're in prison, somehow or another, for your spiritual sanity's sake, you've got to find contentment with God no matter where you are. Because if you don't have contentment in God, your perspective is now going to be skewed. And when your perspective is skewed, everything that comes out of you could be tainted. All Joseph asked was to be remembered. And years later, the cupbearer remembers Joseph. I want you to know as we move on that you are being remembered. That everybody has a thought about you. Everybody has built up within themselves when they see your name come across their phone on whether I'm going to answer or not. Everybody has already worked up within themselves when they see your name come across their email if they're going to even open it or not. Because depending on the last conversation, it's going to allow you to have interest for the next conversation. And the reason why some of us are never remembered because all they hold in their hearts about us is the last encounter. And we take those encounters for granted. But Joseph lived such a way that when the time was right for him to be remembered, the cupbearer remembered him. We got to move on with y'all. There's something about God's timing of remembrance. That had the cupbearer thought about Joseph before this moment, Joseph could have been introduced to the Pharaoh at the wrong time. But you do realize that God orchestrates every moment for his divine ending. And so Joseph had to be in prison long enough for the time to be right. Don't give yourself away. But some of us are trying to press and make God do some stuff quicker than his timing. We want it now. You know, I want the stage now. I want to do this now. But God's timing is on the table. Pump the brakes, tink, tink. It's not God's timing yet. And when it is his timing, you will be remembered. But if you step out there too soon, somebody's going to get hurt. When you step out there too soon, God's name may not be the name that's exalted. Therefore, we've got to wait patiently for God's timing. All right. Gotta move on. But I'm gonna say it one more time. You've got to wait on God's timing. If you're single, make sure you hear from God. If you're married, make sure you hear from God. Because God's timing is perfect. Yo, I know it is. It's perfect. And pardon me for being personal, but the times I got in the most trouble was when I got out of my lane and I tried to help God out with his timing. Oh, I'm ready now. I'm ready. You know, I prepared myself. Come on, Lord. And I step out there on my own. You know what happens? Flunkersville. Every time you step out of your lane outside of God's timing, destruction is yours. And we all come to a place where our gifting and our talents can't get us out of it. I'm going to say it again. You get yourself out there stuck out there too high where your gifting can't get you out of it. Your talent can't get you out of it. Your wonderful demeanor doesn't mean anything to people because it's about God's timing, not what you can put on the table, but God's timing, his purpose and anointing over your life. All right. So not only do we see that Joseph had nothing to lose, journey with me in the passage. We're going to keep reading. Look at verse number 16. He says, I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he needs. Write this down, if you will. Joseph sees God as everything. Joseph sees God as everything. For some of us as believers, when God uses us one good time, we get this holy boldness about us, and we like, just bring it. Come on, I got an answer for it. But do you see how it's apparent that Joseph kept living in trust in God and never found trust in his ability? All right? He never found peace in his ability, but he kept on trusting God. So much so that he says to Pharaoh, the man that at the move of a finger could have had him killed, he says to Pharaoh in holy boldness, he said, I cannot do it. It's not on me. I don't have the power to tell you what you want to hear. Now I can use my words and make it sound real good, make you feel good about what's going on. But do you understand this, that when people that don't know the Lord, when they do come to you for your observation, what they're really seeking for is not really your observation. They want to know the truth. In every conversation I find myself engaged in with someone that does not know the Lord, or someone that's questioning the legitimacy, validity of God, they want to know the truth. They don't want to hear statistics. They don't want to hear how I feel. Because, you know, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. You can't go off how you feel. They want to know the truth. Pharaoh had a dream. God placed this dream in Pharaoh because while Joseph was in the prison, meanwhile, God was setting up the opportunity for Joseph to meet the Pharaoh, so Pharaoh could understand that his God was greater than his God. All right, we're going to go there in a minute. So he says, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Since Joseph had this I have nothing to lose attitude, he had nothing to lose. So he says to the Pharaoh, I don't want you to get caught up and think that I've got the answer. Because I don't have the answer. But my God has the answer. Listen, this is going to help some of y'all, because some of y'all get into some conversations with some people every week, and it seems to be the same conversation, and you keep telling them the same thing, but they come back with another argument, then you come back with something else. How about you just tell them, listen, can we just pray together? And let's let the Lord reveal to both of us what he wants us to say. Now, that will either give you a better conversation or no conversation at all. But some of y'all want to argue with folks. I don't want to argue. You want to bark at me? No. How about let's just trust what God has already said to answer the questions of today. Is that making sense for us? And so he says to him that I cannot do it, but God will give you the answer that you need to hear. Joseph sees God as everything. Look at the implications of the text, would you? The fact that Pharaoh is Pharaoh over all of Egypt. He had the authority of all the land, so he could have made any decision about Joseph that he wanted to make. Joseph knows this, yet Joseph knows God more. He was not concerned about the hands of man more than he was the hands of God. My dad said, son, I'd rather be two steps behind the Lord than one step in front of him. We trust the authority of God, not the stuff that God can produce. God and God alone. Joseph sees God as everything. The text says once again, I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Look at verse number 39 through 41. Journey with me. 39 says this, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Wow. Did y'all see that? I didn't make that up. He said, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Because of Joseph's perspective, here it is, right there, if you will. Joseph was put in charge, but he already had the authority. Joseph was put in charge, but he already had the authority. Charge comes from man, but authority comes from God. It took him to now be 30 years old to be put in charge. But he was always walking in authority because this was a part of God's plan for his life. All right, I'm going to try one more time. Charge is given by man. Authority is given by God. Aren't you glad that as we journey with God, although we don't walk in the authority as we should, that God does not diminish or change his word about us? that he gives us time, space, and opportunity to mature, because at the right time we'll understand the authority on and in our lives. All right, let me try to say, aren't you glad that God didn't cancel you out with your crazy self? All the moments when you knew he said go right and you went left, he did not turn and change his word on your life. Although you are not walking in the authority of your salvation with God, here it is. The Pharaoh put Joseph in charge. Now, why did he put Joseph in charge? I'm glad you asked. Because Joseph told him the truth. Joseph told him the truth. Even people that do not have a relationship with God, they still see and know truth when they hear it and see it. All right? Now I've seen some situations, some conversations go really south quick when some quote-unquote Christians were trying to engage some people to walk by faith. And so their quest to walk by faith was so strong, they just started making up stuff. Yeah, if you do it, this is what God will do for you. Huh? And I was like, whoa. What do you mean? Now, I told him, Rev, I told him. You know, they say Rev, let's get long and deep. Rev, I told him, if you just trust God, God will turn your life around. I was like, okay. Now, what else did you say? I told him, if you make one step, he'll make two. Whoa. What does that mean? I told him, when your praises go up, blessings come down. I said, wait a minute. In their quest to win people over for the Lord, we just make up stuff because it sounds good. You know, it sounds good. You know, it sounds real good to know that if I just trust the Lord, all my days will be a bed of roses. No. Right, because the scripture says what? It rains on the just and the unjust. So you can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that with fire. You can flip over pews. You can fall at the mouth. You can fall out. But you still got to experience death. You can do all that stuff, but you still got to experience the faultiness in humanity. But Joseph did not lie to Pharaoh. Joseph told the Pharaoh, you're going to have 7 years of plenty. And you're going to also got to deal with 7 years of drought. See, had there been some of you prophesying Christians of the 21st century, we'd say, listen, if you just do this, you're going to have a bed of roses for the rest of your life. Your life as Pharaoh is going to be great. But that's not what Joseph did. Joseph told him the truth. The hardest thing for man to do is to be honest with himself about himself. And what you need to make the next steps in your life, you need the truth. And the only place you're going to get the truth all the time is by reading God's word. Because there are people in your life that want you in their lives so much that they'll massage the truth. Well, you know what? I know you did that, but listen, God knows your heart. And he knows you're a sweet person on the inside, real deep down, real deep. Real deep, because girl, you know you crazy, but real deep down, God knows, all he knows, that you love your grandma. Joseph told the truth, and because he told the truth to the Pharaoh, he was able now to walk in the authority that was given to him by God. Listen, this is the duplicity of life, that as believers, we have the authority. Yet it takes man to walk in wisdom to put us in the right place. All right? You have the authority because you are saved. You have the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of you. But until man sees what God already knows, you may not ever be placed on the platform you need to function in authority. Right? So therefore, we have people that realize I have the authority of God, I'm saved and sanctified and all that. And so they push a way for them to be on the stage. They make a platform for themselves. And when you have to make a stage for yourself, you may have the authority of God, but you won't be your voice won't be appreciated by man. All right? And so that means you've come to the place where you appreciate the sound of your voice all by yourself. And my friends, that's a problem in the 21st century. There are people dying all around us that need to hear the truth about God, but the truth about God should not have anything to do with you. Now, there is an opportunity for you to give your testimony. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. We are overcome by that. We have a responsibility to share that. But your testimony does not supersede the authority of God's word and who Jesus is. All right. So you can have the authority of God, and you have it if you're saved. But until man appreciates what you bring to the table, your authority means nothing for the world. It means something for you. Is everybody walking with me? So now that Pharaoh trusts what God put in Joseph, Pharaoh now gives Joseph the platform he needs to now be a voice for all of Egypt. So listen, some of us, I got it. Listen, I know you have it. But until somebody wants to hear it, I know you have it. I know you got a song in you. I know you're ready to sing it. I know. But until somebody wants to hear it, you've got to give it between you and God. Is that making sense for us? So God gives Joseph the authority, but man gave Joseph the platform. Now, we all understand the fact that all platforms are established by God, because this is a part of God's plan for Joseph's life. Everybody walk, you understand what I'm saying? And so Joseph was given charge by Pharaoh. Now, not only was Joseph given charge by Pharaoh, but Pharaoh honored Joseph. Y'all look in the text. Before the years of famine, he told them, he honored him by giving him a ring, gave him a robe to put on, put him in a sweet chariot. It was a sweet ride, y'all. It had some Egyptian Twinkies on it. Y'all so saved. But it was Pharaoh's chariot that he now gave to Joseph. Listen. When you do it God's way, God has a way of making man honor you. When you walk this thing out with big faith, God has a way where man will turn around and honor you. Now, what did Jesus say? He says in Matthew 5 that men will see your good works. Yeah. And they will glorify your Father who's in heaven. So because Joseph walked this thing out well, God now gave him access to all of Egypt, where now the Pharaoh sees the goodness of God in this little Hebrew prison boy. God gave it to him. Man gave him the opportunity, but God gave him the authority. So what's the challenge for you today? I'm glad you asked. The challenge for you today is to trust God for his perspective. Had Joseph been like me years ago, I would have been fussing and fighting, trying to make all my connections. You know I do this. Come on, put me up there. I can do it better than they can. But that's not what Joseph did. Joseph trusted God from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison. Joseph trusted him. And so now, because he trusted God, God gave him access to the Pharaoh's palace. Y'all, Joseph didn't know how long he was going to be in whatever situation he was in. You understand? Because Joseph was living in his reality. Our reality is the sum of what's happening. That's your reality. So Joseph had no idea of how long he was going to be at the Potiphar's house. You know, how long he was going to be in the prison. He didn't know. He didn't know. But his reality was not what I see. Because we don't live by reality. We live by faith. Somebody will help me out in a minute. That Joseph had to come to the place, and he lived in this spot where what I see, it keeps changing, because I go from one bad situation to a worse situation. But what held Joseph consistent was that he was going to trust in God. Can I challenge you today? That wherever you find yourself, the situation may change from one bad relationship to the next, one bad dead-end job to the next, one coworker that's bad to the next coworker. But what's consistent is your perspective and how you're viewing the situation. And the challenge is, we want to see life through the lens of God. And if we see life through the lens of God, we see everything that God brings our way as an opportunity for his glory to be revealed. All right. So Joseph, his perspective. Finally, let me put this on the altar of your heart. because of Joseph's perspective, God honors Joseph's dependency. Verse 50, 52 says, before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh. He said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. The second son was named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. All right, y'all. We're done. Well, let me just challenge you with this. That because Joseph decided to trust God and decided to keep his dependency on him, God blessed him with more than just what man could give him. You see, the Pharaoh gave him a signet ring. Man gave him a ring. Man gave him linen clothes. Man gave him a hot ride to drive. Man gave him this. But God gave him something that man could not give him. Pharaoh even gave him the hand to marry, to be his wife. But God gave him something that man could not give him. Man had given him all this stuff. But God blessed him with something that man could not provide for him. What God gives Joseph, God gives Joseph legacy. By giving him these two boys. Now, when we understand the entire life of Jacob's offspring, you'll see later on that Joseph gives his sons to his father. And there's a whole divine purpose in that, but that's in another sermon. But what we see here is that because of Joseph's dependency on God, God blessed him with two boys. He blessed him with two boys. Y'all, you're going to walk with me about five more minutes. It's just 9:35 in L.A., so we're doing pretty good on time. So God gave him two. That was a little joke. Boy, y'all showing. That is. God gave him two boys. The first son God gave him, his name was Manasseh. Name is Manasseh. And Manasseh means, as the text says, one who causes you to forget. All right. So God blessed him with a son so that the years that he spent in the pit, the years that he spent in Potiphar's house, the years that he spent in prison, God gave him a son to show him, I want you to forget about it. All right? So this is what happens. It depends on your perspective. If you see the glass as half empty versus seeing the glass as half full, it's going to direct what your next steps are going to be. All right. So God gave him Manasseh, which caused him to forget. So when you see the glass is half empty, and when you do that, you are not giving God thanks for what your new reality is. So when you see the glass is half empty, and you're spending more time focusing on the emptiness of the glass, it's a picture of your spiritual life. The fact that you are spending more time on what you figured you lost in your old reality and not seeing the lens from a new perspective of what you have by the glass being half full, your new reality. All right, I'm going to try this out. So if you're not careful, you will spend the remainder of your days not in thanksgiving. All right, I'm going to try this out. If you're not careful, out of all you've been doing in life, you will spend the remaining of your days trying to figure out what you lost instead of being thankful for what you have. All right, I'm going to try this. So God gave him Manasseh. And Manasseh means one who causes you to have forgetfulness. There are some things in life that God does not want you to put your heels in and remember for the rest of your days. You see, if you live in a lack of gratitude, you're not living in thanksgiving. And the Bible is clear to us that every day we should live in a place of thanksgiving. So if I'm not thankful what God is doing now, it means I'm thinking more about what did not happen years back. And we have come too far with God today to spend good time thinking about what did not happen instead of thanking God for what is happening right now. So I choose to give him thanks. It is okay to have spiritual amnesia. Because if I don't have amnesia about your hurt that you caused on me, I'll be thinking more about getting you back versus thanking God that it did not overtake me.
All right.
Manasseh means one who causes to forget. Now listen, this is where we find ourselves in trouble because of our 21st American Christianized way of doing God. Because we're saying, now Rev, are you saying to me that I'm supposed to forget what they did to me? Rev, you don't know what they did to me. My mama never cuddled me.
All right.
My dad never said he loved me until I did something for him. When I got him a gift, that's when he said, thank you, I love you, baby. But he never hugged me. I never felt comfortable around my family. Listen, please understand that there's no way, no how I am diminishing your former reality. All right, I'm not diminishing that, because what your reality was, it's yours. All of us have had to get over something. Now y'all help me, I say, that's right, Rev. All of us had to get over something. You know, some of y'all had gold spoons, silver spoons. I had a wooden spoon that was chiseled, so I just kept it. That's the kind of spoon I had in my mouth. Y'all, sir, boy, y'all. We all had to get over something, but listen, that was our former reality. Your reality today as a believer is that you are a brand new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. The only reason why you as a believer are not rejoicing your salvation today is because you're thinking more about what you thought you lost more than seeing what you have gained with God. And I just come to the place that by now you ought to realize you've gained heaven. You've gained what God has for you on earth by having Jesus Christ as your resurrected Savior. So you haven't lost anything. John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So whatever you thought you lost, you didn't lose nothing, because you have everything with God. Listen, not only did God bless him with Manasseh, which says one who forgets, he also blessed him with another son. His name is Ephraim. And Ephraim means God has made me fruitful. Interesting. God has made me fruitful. And y'all see the rest of the text? Where does my fruitfulness lie? All right, now hold on. See, because of our 21st world way of doing Christendom, we want to be fruitful around other fruitful people. We want our fruitfulness to be there so we can compare fruit. I want to be just as fruitful as they are. And how do I know I'm as fruitful as they are? Because my fruit is beside theirs. Okay, look, my lemons are plumper than yours. Look at my maters. My grandma said, she didn't say tomato, she said, look at my maters. And so we're comparing fruit sizes. We're comparing the brilliance and the colors of our fruit. And we spend the rest of our salvific lives looking at somebody else's blessings and comparing ours to theirs. Listen, I'm not making this up. He said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Yeah, I know we got to go, but some of us are so eager to get out of the suffering. And we don't understand that it's in the suffering that we realize that we've been blessed. We want God to come through and the Lord, give me out, Lord, I'll praise you, lying. If you give me out, just give me out, And we don't understand that it's in the place of suffering where we really realize the extremities of our voice to praise him. You see, if God was to bless some of us, we would not praise in the way we do now. Therefore, God allows us to suffer a little while and to live in that place so the voice of our praise rises higher when we're in a little bit of suffering. You see, the suffering was not over because Joseph had made it to the palace. Joseph was getting ready to experience another dimension of suffering. See, a lot of us, we want to get to the palace. If I just get to the palace. Do you understand that the palace brings about the palace kinds of suffering? And we want to get to the palace so bad. If I can just get out of debt, if I just do this. But my mentality hasn't changed, so once I get out, I'm getting back in it with something else. Right. But Joseph was getting ready to endure another level of suffering while in the palace. Because now he's got to figure out what is the result of God's grace in my life. When God brings me to a place of affluence, how do I respond to those that did me in the very first place? So we're gonna celebrate Joseph being in the palace, and we ought to celebrate that. But it ain't over. Joseph knew that he was going to deal with seeing his family again. You say, Mac, how do you know that? Because God doesn't lie. God gave him a prophecy at the age of 17. And since the prophecy hadn't come to fruition yet, sooner or later, Joseph was going to have to deal with his brothers to fulfill God's word. So celebrate that you're in the palace. But you got to understand that being in the palace brings about its own kinds of pains, own kinds of new sufferings. Because of where God has finally allowed you to walk in authority. And so Joseph was able to say that he is Ephraim, the fruitfulness in my suffering. That I'm going to be fruitful in my suffering. Joseph didn't know how it was going to happen. But he knew the same God that was with him in the pit. Same God that was with him in Potiphar's house. Same God that was with him in prison is the same God that's going to be with him in the palace. And I don't know what that means to you. I don't know the implications of that in your life. But I want you to know the same God that was with Joseph is the same God that's with you right now. Although you may be experiencing the pit, touch your neighbor and say, God is with you. Although you may be experiencing the lies of Potiphar's wife, touch somebody else and say, God is still with you. You may be experiencing the pain of not being remembered in the prison. Touch yourself and say, self. Don't be so mean. I said, touch yourself and say, self. God is with me. And when you finally get to the place where God ultimately wants you to be, you've got to know that the same God that has been with you is the same God that's going to stay with you for this next level of suffering and pain. We keep on believing that once I get out of this spot, God's going to give me a place of palace where there won't be any more suffering. But until you get to heaven, you will still have to suffer a little while on this side. But every level God takes you, it also brings about blessings and a new level of pain. But every level you go higher and higher, God reveals himself more and more to you. So whatever you have to go through for a little while on this side, you've got to remember the fact that God is with me. No matter how people may lie on me, how they may stab me in my face with their tongues or stab me in my back with their knives, God is still with me. There will be things I will never understand why people act the way they act. They may never call my name with a smile on their face. But one thing I know is that God, help me out, is with me. You may talk about me and laugh at me, but one thing I know is that God is with me. This is a reason why we can celebrate this morning. Is that people will come and people will go, but one thing remains the same, is that God is with me. My wife likes me today, but she might not like me tomorrow. And that'll be a dark day in my life. But even through all of that, I still have to know. What do I know? God is with me. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. And he always comes through just when I need him the most. So you may be in your pit today. You may be in the prison today. But you have to know that wherever you are, God is with you. God gave him Manasseh. God gave him Ephraim. God has given you a Manasseh. God has given you an Ephraim. God has caused you to forget about the pain and the hurt. And at the same time, he's caused you to thank him for the fruitfulness and the blessings of right now. So you have a choice today. Will you spend the rest of your life looking back over your life at the disappointments? Or will you take the next minutes in your life and thank him for your new reality? I can't tell you how to thank him. But if you know God has given you a brand new reality, why don't you put your hands together? At least put a smile on your face. And give him thanks that the old reality of your old life is not the new reality of your life today. And the reason why we can celebrate him is because early Sunday morning, maybe y'all don't know what happened. The Bible says that he rose from the grave with all power. Joseph's reality was that God was elevating him to a new space. Not only to experience the pain, but to experience the victory. Because God blessed him. Why? Because Joseph had big faith. He decided to trust God. So listen. Our time is gone. But will you trust him? Listen, I realize that your reality, the sum of what you see right now, is not necessarily the best thing. It's not what you thought you would see at this time of your life. But you have to own the fact that God has a plan. And what he's waiting on is for you to trust him all the way.